Welcome to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank that brings you market views and insights on the go.
Welcome to Standard Chartered Money Insights. I'm Eugenia Koh, Head of Sustainable Investing, and on this episode of the podcast, we dive into discussing the topic of investing in the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs. Joining me today for this conversation, I have the pleasure of welcoming Anton van Zanden, an SDG strategist at Robeco. The SDGs, also called People's Goals, are 17 goals that are designed to represent a universal blueprint for all countries and actors to come together to achieve a more sustainable future. These ambitious goals are targeted to be achieved by 2030, and the responsibility doesn't just lie with the United Nations and governments, but contributing of expertise and capital from corporates and asset owners and managers and investors are imperative too. The SDGs have taken flight since they were set up in 2015, and in a survey commissioned by the World Economic Forum released in 2019, the survey found that 75% of adults globally have some awareness of the SDGs. Anton, you are the expert on SDGs. What else would you like us to know about them?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on the podcast, Eugenia. So what I would like us to know about the SDGs is that they really provide a wonderful blueprint for sustainable investing. And I think there are three great things about the SDGs. The first is that they are truly universal. All countries, no matter how rich or poor they are, adopted these goals. The second is that the SDGs are all-encompassing. They simultaneously promote economic growth, they aim to advance social inclusion and well-being, and they safeguard environmental sustainability. And finally, by adopting the SDGs, countries have defined what they want societies to look like by the year 2030. By setting 17 goals with 169 specific sub-targets, the world now has a very concrete and specific understanding of what sustainability is all about. And combined, I think that these three aspects make the SDGs very useful for investors that are not only interested in pursuing financial goals, but that also want to achieve sustainability objectives.
That's great to hear. So all United Nations member states have adopted the SDGs in 2015, and they aim to achieve these goals by 2030. How are we doing on achieving them, and are we on track?
Well, the past 5 years witnessed progress in some important areas. So, for example, around the world, we are electing more and more women into parliaments. The energy that we consume is increasingly coming from renewable sources. And we are also starting to protect more parts of the oceans. And these are very positive trends for SDG 5 on gender equality, for SDG 7 on affordable and clean energy, and for SDG 14 on life below water. But what is becoming also clear is that progress is much too slow around the world. So we are facing some really big challenges, and I think that these come as no surprise to anyone. So let me illustrate. When we look at the data, we find that inequality within and between countries is widening. Hunger is on the rise. Of course, climate change, temperatures are rising, and biodiversity is eroding at an alarming rate. And these are major issues that we need to solve if we are to achieve the SDGs. Now, the good news is that in these past 5 years, we also conducted a lot of research, which really helped us to learn a lot about how we might accelerate the pace for the SDGs. And one of the key lessons, and one lesson that the United Nations also recognizes, is that the private sector in general, and investors more specifically, are really critical to the success of the SDGs. So we all need to work together if we are to achieve the goals.
Just as you have described, achieving the SDGs does require all of us to contribute. There is also a lot of work to be done in educating the public on this framework. We have heard people share that the SDGs can be difficult to monitor and measure, as many of them are broadly framed. And on the other hand, we have also heard that the SDGs can help investors become more outcome-focused. What are some of your observations when it comes to how SDGs can be beneficial to investors?
Well, I think what you're saying is absolutely true. So because the SDGs aim to tackle the biggest challenges that the world is facing, so from eradicating poverty to tackling climate change, it might be very hard for investors to measure their contributions to these very diverse goals. But I think there are ample reasons for investors to learn more about the SDGs and to also engage with them. And in fact, I think there are four clear reasons why investors should care about the SDGs. And the first is that the SDGs help to identify future business opportunities. So the SDGs signal a massive transformation towards more sustainable societies, initiated by governments, and companies that are positively aligned with this ambition, and so companies that provide solutions towards achieving these goals, are likely to be the winners of the future. Think about renewable energy or healthcare companies, or really companies providing innovative technologies. These are likely to be the winners of the future. Now, by the same reasoning, the SDGs help us to mitigate risks. So companies not in line with the ambition of the SDGs are likely to be future losers simply because they will face more regulation and possibly also dwindling consumer demand. A third reason why investors should care about the SDGs is that they provide a license to operate. So SDGs are increasingly becoming part of our sector's regulation. And for instance, in Europe, where I'm located at the moment, we have the EU Sustainable Finance Action Plan, which is really built around government's ambition to achieve the SDGs. And a final reason why investors should care about the SDGs is that they really provide a blueprint for positive impact. So using these SDGs, investors have a tool to create both wealth and well-being by investing in companies that provide solutions for a more sustainable future.
That's great. So we've talked a lot about SDGs so far, and I'm going to throw another acronym into our conversation today, ESG, which stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. And these are factors that investors should consider when they make investment decisions. So tell us, Anton, what are the differences between SDGs and ESG?
Well, thanks. I think that's a very important question. And although the SDGs and ESG are similar in that they relate to sustainability, they are really different in terms of execution. So in short, ESG is all about mitigating sustainability risks, whereas the SDGs are all about supporting sustainability impact. Now, let me explain that a little bit further. So if investors integrate ESG factors into their investment decisions, they really want to know if the company's risk or return profile might be affected by environmental, social, or governance factors that the company is facing. So this makes ESG integration all about financial materiality. Are there environmental, social, or governance issues that may affect the company's ability to generate returns? But ESG integration does not tell you much about which companies make the best contributions to sustainability, or about which companies have negative impacts on the SDGs. So for example, a tobacco company can get a very high ESG score if the risk of health are adequately priced into these companies' valuations. So the SDGs really turn this logic around. Rather than asking how sustainability might influence the risks or returns of a company, the SDGs ask how a company impacts progress on the SDGs and on sustainable development.
Right. So the SDGs can help investors go one step further and transition from a do no harm approach to becoming a force for good by identifying companies that go above and beyond and have a more positive impact on society and the environment. It does sound that SDG investing is very similar to impact investing, which we have often seen pursued in the private equity space. In impact investing, we talk about intentionality as one of the tests of impact. This refers to whether impact is in the DNA of a company, whether it's a core part of its strategy and purpose. And you have highlighted that SDGs can help with identifying these companies with intentionality. So that's really interesting. It also seems that for investors looking to make an impact with their investments, while they may not necessarily have access to the private markets, SDG investing is something that they could consider. So let's look at the key question around measurement. How about the determination of what metrics to track for impact and the measuring of impact? Although impact investing is an asset class agnostic, the quantifying of a direct impact might be more challenging when it comes to public markets. Can you help us understand how SDGs can help with addressing this in the public markets in both equities and fixed income strategies?
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you that impact measurement is critical. So let me make this a bit more concrete by explaining how we create SDG investing strategies at Rubico. So I think you already alluded to the key question. What we need to know in order to integrate the SDGs into our investment strategies is knowing how individual companies positively but also negatively impact the SDGs. Now, to answer this question, we created a proprietary framework that helps us to determine just that. So to explain, the Robeco SDG framework is used to analyze a company's impacts on each of the SDGs. And the framework works by analyzing a company in three steps. Now, in the first step, we quantify the impact of the products and the services that companies deliver on the SDGs. So positive impacts might follow from products such as health, renewable energy, or insurance, whereas negative impacts is likely to come from companies such as alcohol companies, soft drinks producers, or coal mining companies. Then we move to the second step. In the second step, we look at the operations of a company, and we ask, for instance, how the governance of a company, its gender equality performance, or its environmental track record is influencing the SDGs. And then finally, we move to the third step of the SDG framework, and here we look at whether or not the company is engaged in any controversies. So it might be that you have a company that in the first step of the framework is delivering very good products or services for the SDGs, and whose operations are also very much aligned with the ambitions of the SDGs, but the company might still be engaged in a controversy, like a fraud, bribery case, an oil spill, whatever. And we try to take that into account in this final step, just to make sure that we don't, or that we account for all possible impacts of a company. Now, with this framework, we determine to what extent the company impacts the SDGs, and these impacts are then scored. So the SDG score that we assign to a company can range from highly negative, a minus 3 score, to highly positive, or a plus 3 score. And with this SDG score, we aim to measure, first of all, a company's impacts on the SDGs. So does the company help achieve the goals by having positive impacts, or does it generate negative impacts that detract from achieving the SDGs? And with this score, we can embed the intentionality that you pointed out earlier into our investment strategies. So what we do is we filter the universe of investable companies, and we then might only invest in those companies with a particular SDG score. So for instance, for a strategy, we might choose to only invest in companies with an SDG score of plus 2, a medium positive impact, or plus 3, a highly positive impact, because such companies are the front runners in the sustainability transition, and they really make the most positive impacts on the SDGs.
Wow, Anton, you're clearly very knowledgeable and passionate when it comes to SDG investing. I just wanted to say that you're the very first SDG strategist whom I've met, and I'm really curious about your background. Can you share more with us, especially with those who are interested in a career in this space? What sparked your interest, and how did you get started?
Yeah, of course, Eugenia. So it all started in 2015 when I was doing a research master in development studies at the University of Cambridge. And at that time, the SDGs were, of course, really freshly adopted. And everybody said that without the contributions of companies, these goals were not likely to be achieved. I really found this fascinating because we don't know all that much about companies' impacts on sustainability topics like the SDGs. And I therefore decided to find some answers myself by writing my dissertation on this topic. Now, when I graduated in 2016, I started to work in the consulting sector. I was advising companies on sustainability and impact, but I still found these research questions on the role of companies in the SDGs so interesting that I started to write my PhD dissertation on this topic next to my work. So over the past years, I wrote a number of research articles on this topic, while also working in the private sector to really see how companies engage with the SDGs. Now, when in early 2020, I learned that Robeco was looking to hire an SDG strategist, it was really a no-brainer for me. And I'm very excited to now be contributing to our investment strategy for the SDGs and to also engage with a wide variety of clients and other stakeholders on this exciting topic.
That is really fascinating and encouraging for us to hear. I believe that we do need to raise the next generation of leaders and talents to move this ambitious and urgent agenda forward. So thank you for sharing your insights. Before we wrap up today, do you have any final comments that you would like to leave the audience?
Yeah, of course. So when we started this podcast, we talked about some of the big challenges that we are facing on the SDGs. Now, before we leave, I want to end with a positive note. So I was recently reading a study by academics, and they looked into whether the SDGs are achievable by 2030 or whether it's a futile attempt. And that their conclusion was a resounding yes. Yes, the SDGs are achievable, and that they also found that achieving the SDGs actually doesn't require a lot of investments, but actually they generate a lot of business opportunities and they contribute to GDP growth. So with that in mind, the United Nations is now calling for a decade of action to achieve the SDGs. In the past 5 years, we've done a lot of thinking and strategizing, and this has led to the SDGs gaining wide traction, both among governments but also among investors, and now it's time to implement the SDGs. So now it's really time to translate the traction that the SDGs have gained into real-world impact, and I'd like to invite all of you to join in this decade of action.
Indeed, let us join into this decade of action, as you say, Anton. Thanks again for joining us in this conversation, and we really much enjoyed hearing your insights. That's all for this episode of Standard Chartered Money Insights. If you'd like to learn more or read our publications, please visit our website at sc.com under Market Insights. As a reminder, if you've enjoyed our discussion, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for listening to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank. For more details on the latest market insights, subscribe to Standard Chartered Money Insights.